How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 224 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com. A good review would be nice. The reviews really do help, so it'd be cool if people actually did leave a review when they were on that page. I mean, the five stars is nice, too. Do whatever you want. You can log on to normantranscript.com also. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see Thunder coverage there, free agency coverage there with free agency winding down, analysis of Paul George. I was in Vegas, Summer League for the last couple of weeks, and in Orlando and in Vegas, and Tyler, our OU guy, filled in for me, and I think did a great job. Wrote a couple of articles on the Patterson and Felton press conference and then on the Paul George welcome party. And here to talk about the Paul George. Oh, I'm on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, too, every week now. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I forgot to say that. I'm supposed to say that. Here to talk about the Paul George welcome party is the party animal, the man who can just review any party because he's been invited to all of them, John Hamm.
Party analyst. Let's go to our national party correspondent.
Well, that's... That my national party correspondent is Aaron Carter. I spent about 10 minutes making just so I could make an Aaron Carter joke during the Paul George thing on Twitter last night.
Yeah. Worth it.
I was so happy. Oh my God. Yeah. I was so proud. I was sitting next to, you know, Ben Golliver from SI.
Oh yeah.
I was sitting next to Ben Golliver at like the Hawks Summer League game. And I'm sitting there, and Ben Golliver looks to his left and sees, like, I have an Aaron Carter, the YouTube for Aaron's party, called up. And I'm like editing out the part where he just says, party of the month? Yeah, party of the year. He's like, what are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be watching the game? I'm like, no, I cover the Thunder. This is more important, Ben. I have to be making Aaron Carter jokes about the Paul George welcome party. That's the only way. So I got that little part, threw in the lyrics for the GIF. I was pretty pleased with myself, I have to say.
It was as you should be. Yeah.
Yeah, damn straight as I should be. It was a great tweet. Even if it had a very, very specific demographic for people who might understand the joke, I was really happy about my joke about Aaron's party. It was a good one.
Yeah.
I want to know why Aaron Carter is struggling so much financially. I think he went bankrupt, but Nick Carter is worth like 40 mil and Nick Carter didn't help him out. That's a problem.
Yeah. That seems a little odd.
You'd think that they would do something. Yeah. This is awful podcasting. You know, I've seen the Backstreet Boys live.
Oh yeah. Like recently or like in years past?
Like define recently. I mean, it's always in the past, John.
Well, I recently, let's say within the past 5 years, because they have been retouring with, I don't know, NSYNC or...
No, it hasn't been NSYNC. If it were with NSYNC, my goodness, you know, there's no price that would be too high for me to pay for a Backstreet Boys NSYNC joint concert.
I'm sorry, I meant New Kids on the Block. That's more my generation.
Within the last 5 years, yes. I went with my brother. We had a great time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. They're great. They still do all their hits. They have, what's hilarious is they have new stuff. And every once in a while they'll break out like a new thing and we're just like, what is going, we're not here for this. We're here for I Want It That Way, and that's it. It was great.
That's right. Play Freebird.
Oh, I had a great time. Yeah. What did you think of the Paul George party?
So that whole thing, it was really cool. It was very cool. It was at a place that I believe just opened today. So the event was sort of like a soft opening, I suppose you could say.
A soft opening for Paul George.
Right. the Jones Assembly, which sort of an indoor-outdoor venue. There will be concerts there. And so, like, they had misters outside, you know, that kept it tolerable. And, it was hopping. And there was a lot of people, even I reckon, I mean, like fans, not media, but like fans that I recognized and that recognized me, which still kind of blows me away that someone would go out of their way to come up and like want to meet me. But that happened. So the event itself, like I say, it was it's something that the Thunder haven't. It was out of the norm for the Thunder. But I also think it's kind of like adapting to the times. So I applaud that.
I wasn't there. That's my caveat. I was in Vegas. I watched it on TV. I saw like the Brian Davis and Leslie McCaslin coverage and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I only saw it from TV. But you know what? So my initial reaction when they were doing this, I was like, this thing's going to be weird. Like they're going to have a press conference with fans there. And it's going to be like the Kevin Durant thing with the Warrior when Durant was introed as a Warrior last year. And I thought it was going to be weird. Because the Durant thing was just extremely weird, I thought.
Yeah, not only that, but when Russ signed his extension, I mean, it was the same thing. You had media wanting to talk to Russ for the first time since Durant left, but there's fans in there that are applauding him signing the extension. So you're right, it does get a little strange.
Yes, it gets strange. And you know what? I thought that's what this was going to be like, and it wasn't. It was, I thought it was really cool. I thought they did a great job. Like, My concern was just that, like, media was not going to be able to ask a legitimate question because it was going to be too loud, or there were going to be Paul George chants, or you know, whatever it was going to be. And it just is an uncomfortable environment for that kind of stuff. But they obviously agreed. The team obviously agreed because they just moved the press conference to another room, and that solves everything. And then you just have, like, a really cool pep rally, which... Man, if you're a Thunder fan, that looked like a great time. Open bar, you get to cheer on Paul George, hang out with your friends, there's food. It sounds like an awesome party. It looked like a blast.
Yeah, I mean, the Paul George coming out and chatting with, and you'll forgive me, I don't know, Mr. Fresh.
Mr. Fresh. I'm just laughing, John. I'm laughing because you're being really disrespectful. He got his PhD years ago. It is Dr. Fresh.
Oh, is it Dr. Fresh? Okay.
He got his PhD in freshness years ago.
Yes. Okay. I just wonder, like, the Fresh family, where do they originate from? I mean, is it Minnesota? Is it Boston? Is it one of the coasts?
What would his, if you trace back his ancestry... Where would Fresh come from?
I'm thinking the 1980s. That's probably about as far back as it goes.
Well, I'm thinking the last name. If your last name's Fresh, what nationality would that sound most like? I feel like if it were spelled Fresch, I could see him being German.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Lance Fresh is German. Lance Fresh? That's his name, Lance Fresh.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, Lance. Well, so Dr. Fresh, he does like NBA TV stuff, Turner stuff. I see him on Bleacher Report. He like does fashion stuff. And this might be a fact error. I might be fake news right now. If I am, I'm willing to say it anyway. And someone can correct me on Twitter. I think
we'll have the president call you out if you get this wrong. Go ahead.
I think he's also friends with Paul George.
Oh, okay.
Which is part of why, which would make sense. Paul George is a great dresser, by the way. I laughed out loud when he said that he was the fashion king and that he was going to challenge Russ in that MC event. And the reason that I laughed out loud wasn't a funny comment, but that wasn't the reason that I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud because the first thing I thought was like, what does the hole in Russell Westbrook's living room wall look like? Like, is it the size of his fist? Is it the right. size of his remote? Is it the size of the whole damn TV? Like, how, what is the shape of that hole?
Of a small child, maybe? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
So, that was funny, though.
Yeah. Dr. Fresh, that whole segment was, what, 5-10 minutes tops? But I mean, it was really cool. You know, obviously the fans were all at attention and eating up everything he had to say. And then, after that was done, then, the media exited outside, went to the 21st Century Hotel lobby where they had everything set up. And there were still some fans that wandered through, apparently a couple that maybe had been overserved at one point earlier. They kind of wandered through, but yeah, I mean, I think it worked out very well. And again, they could have done just the standard at Chesapeake Energy Arena, and Sam Press even talked about this. But, you know, I think it is really cool that they're taking this opportunity to go to different places in Oklahoma City and show what is going on around here. I mean, this is footage being shown on every major sports network, being streamed on Twitter, wherever people are putting eyes on this, they're kind of seeing, like, there's more to Oklahoma City than maybe you realize.
It is cool. That's what I wrote about. Like, mm-hmm. following the press conference and, like, the welcome party and all of that, that's what I wrote about. And it's a good idea for the organization. They're playing this well. Because the Thunder, like I wrote in that story, it's no secret around the league. So Sam Presti became GM of the Thunder in, like, June of 2007. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was like the first or second week of June. And actually, that wasn't even the Thunder. That was the Sonics.
Right.
It was right before the draft. And the Thunder, the Sonics.
Let's be respectful here. The Sonics.
Exactly. The Seattle Supersonics of Gary Payton and Sean Kemp fame were already signed up for Las Vegas Summer League. And this was in... this was like a month going into Summer League, and it was too late to pull out of Summer League.
Right.
And they showed up to Summer League, and Sam Presti just hated it. He hated Vegas Summer League, and it should be no surprise as to why. They have this very buttoned up, he has this very buttoned up, extremely proper, extremely meticulous. Even last night he made a joke like, he's not the life of the party. He's not like you, mm-hmm. John Hamm. He's not getting the invite. Although I'm sure he gets the invite to every party, and then he's the one who's like, "Nah, I'm not going to go to that one." But Sam is a meticulous, more introverted personality, and that's fine. That suits Orlando Summer League, and they go to they are. Someone said to me, like we were just talking about, like the difference between Orlando and Vegas Summer League, because I like Vegas Summer League more. I think it's more social. I think it's better for networking. I like the vibe of Vegas. I enjoy being in Vegas. I like Las Vegas. And I like the vibe of it more, like the how vibrant the city is and how vibrant, everybody is when they're there. Like it carries over even into the basketball arena, People are more down to go out and just grab drinks and hang out and talk basketball at 11 p.m. on a weeknight in Las Vegas than they are at Orlando Summer League. That's just the effect of the city, And so I like Vegas Summer League more. And the Thunder like Orlando more, and it's not close. And someone described them to me as, quote, the most Orlando Summer League team in the league. Like, I like Orlando Summer League being an adjective.
Right.
But I knew exactly what he meant. And the Thunder doing this, like Terrence Ferguson at the Boathouse, that's where they had his introductory presser, earlier in the month. And then they have, they do the other one at Aloft. That's how you pronounce it, Aloft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do it at the Aloft Hotel. That's where they have the Patterson and the Felton presser. And then they do this thing for Paul George, and they go to 21C, which is a super nice, super trendy hotel. Like they're going out of their way to show off the city. They're going out of their way to kind of do this, to do these same things, keep them equally as professional, keep them equally as efficient. They're just doing it in a way that kind of shows off the good that they can show off. And it's not showy in the least. It's right. Cool. It's cool. People like fun things, and it's fun. I think it's a good idea. If I were a Thunder fan, I would be. You know, I don't think it's like a huge altering thing that they do a press conference at Aloft instead of at the practice facility. But it's if I were a Thunder fan, I would just take note of like the organization is showing a little bit of personality, and that's just something that even down to its social media. They just don't really do.
Although that's changing. I mean, just now we have this new hashtag ThunderFWD, which I guess does not stand for anything. I'm going to assume it means Thunder Forward. But there was a really cool, like, one-minute video that the Thunder social media site posted, which kind of honored, the Thunder of the past while also looking forward to the future. And yeah, I've noticed it just here recently that it looks like social media may be livening up as well for the team. So again, I think it's all just sort of adjusting to the times. And like you said, they're not really and Sam even said they're not really changing who they are, but they're just they're kind of getting outside their comfort zone a little bit.
Well, I think part of it is adjusting to the times. I think part of it is honestly the effect of Durant.
No doubt.
Yeah, I just think that I thought this was weird at the time, and Royce disagrees with me on this. And maybe this is just because, of Royce and I are really good friends. I don't know where you stand on this. Royce and I are obviously extremely close friends. But maybe this is just, one of those situations where it's, the way that you grow up frames the way that you think about things. And Royce thinks about... Royce relates the Thunder to kind of more Oklahoman ideals, and I relate them more to NBA ideals because I wasn't seeing the Thunder grow up in front of me. You know what I mean? Mm. Like Royce was, and like you were. So maybe you'll be more on Royce's side. But to me, when they went to go to Durant and they ended up staying at a Holiday Inn and sharing beds, my reaction was, are you kidding me? Like, that's what you're doing? Like... You have an owner there worth God knows how much money, and you're driving out of your way to stay to take a damn helicopter into New York and stay in a nice hotel, because guess what? It's not just a recruiting trip for Kevin Durant. This is an advertisement for your organization. It's something for even Russell Westbrook or for other people who are going to hear about this stuff. And it's a great story. It's a great story. But I just kind of think that, this is the NBA, and this is the NBA in 2017. Like, players and people who work there shouldn't be bunking up and sharing beds. Like, that's what the newspaper journalists should be doing. And I just don't think that that's I think the way that this kind of stuff is the way that a lot of NBA teams operate in 2017. And I think it's just really interesting that this is the time that the Thunder are now going to it.
Well, and to that point, I mean, maybe that's something that didn't impress, and we don't know. I'm just speculating here. Maybe it didn't impress Kevin Durant, but maybe
implication is not that it didn't impress Kevin Durant. It's that it didn't impress me.
But I mean, maybe that wasn't, maybe that look wasn't frowned upon. And the way I look at this is, since Durant has left, there's been, a lot of chatter about some of the various reasons. And one thing, talking to Anthony Slater at one time, Slater said, part of the decision, and I'm sure probably on the small end, was, the Thunder kind of not wanting to emphasize a single, an individual player. They like to emphasize the team, even though obviously there's a couple of players that are more, that are more critical to the team than others. But, not doing a bobblehead night. To honor a player. I mean, it was little things like that. And maybe that was the sort of stuff that, Kevin would turn his nose up at, but Russ would be fine with, for example. So I kind of look at it that same way in terms of that whole event. Yeah, maybe that was sort of, that's just kind of how they've been, how they are. But maybe there has been a realization that, okay, we need to undo the top button on the polo shirt and relax a bit.
Show some chest hair, man. You got it there for a reason. You don't need to be slipping nips or anything, but show a little chest hair.
Yeah, Yeah, that comes in 2020.
Yeah.
yeah, we'll get there. That's a slippery slope, you see.
Oh, that's a slippery slope. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, Russell Westbrook has decided that the top four buttons are completely useless.
That's right. They're probably removed.
Russell at the ESPYs continued the stretch that he started during the postseason of going to major events, just with the top four buttons just unbuttoned.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, look, if I was built like Russ, I might do the same, you know, but I'm not. So I'm not going to inflict that on anybody.
If I was built like Russ, I don't know what I'd do because I can't even imagine how that would be the case. I don't even know what I would be like if I were built like a normal person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The midnight Domino's pizzas probably wouldn't be occurring in that case.
Right. Yeah. There might be a few lifestyle changes that'll be required for that to happen.
Yeah. The only reason that I would unbutton my shirt in this case is just so I don't get tomato sauce on it when I dunk my Domino's breadstick or my Olive Garden breadsticks in it.
Yeah.
Get it on the chest. Yeah. You're fine. You know, then you're good.
That is a normal Oklahoman diet. So, you know,
I'm converting.
You're fitting right in there. Yeah, there you go.
I'm converting. Well, I've been on the road for 13 days. 13 wow. days, long time. Just got home today.
Yeah.
Week at Orlando, 6 in Vegas. I missed the Patrick Patterson press conference and Ray Felton, but I was able to watch.
Yeah.
Missed the Paul George stuff, but I was able to watch. Let's talk about the press conference for a little bit.
Yep.
Any answers stand out to you? I mean, from what I've heard about Paul George, because I've met Paul George. I really didn't know. Obviously, I know a lot about Paul George, the player, because if you're even a casual NBA fan, you probably know a lot about Paul George, the player. If I didn't know a lot about Paul George, the player, then you guys could stop listening. You should probably stop listening to me anyway, but you guys could stop listening to me. I would officially be, you know, a total hack. But yeah. I honestly didn't know that much about Paul George, the person, other than that, like, he won it out of Indiana, and that was kind of it. So I asked some friends who covered him and know about him. Everybody said the exact same thing. Everyone was like, he's a great interview. Everybody said he answers every question. You can ask him hard questions, and he's just respectful and just tries his best every time to give a smart, intelligent answer. And I thought he came across that way in the press conference. But did anything in particular, did you find anything in particular interesting, or did anything catch you off guard, or do you disagree with me that my tepid take that Paul George answered the questions that he was asked?
No, I thought he handled it very well, and I thought, you know, everything was very thoughtful, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of questions about his future, and, you know, I thought he answered the questions well, you know, however pessimistic you want to be about it, if you want to be, you know, I thought he gave, you know, the right answers that basically we'll see. I mean, so he did set off some alarms because he kept talking in terms of him and Russ, you know, becoming free agents next summer. And so that caused some people to, you know, send him into a mild panic. So there was that. I personally don't read a whole lot into that because I would not assume that Paul George is intimately involved in that decision or the details of it, since he just, you know, has only had a few conversations with Russ and apparently not much about basketball. So, but yeah, I mean, all that stuff is good. He spoke very highly of Andre Roberson, called him Andre Roberson at first.
I know, so he's not that.
He's not unlike anyone outside of Oklahoma. But no, I mean, spoke very highly of him as a defender. He also spoke highly of Westbrook as a defender, which, okay. You know, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I thought everything was done very well.
Yeah, me too. I thought the stuff about him and Russ deciding together what they're going to do was interesting and notable. Because first off, he repeated it on the Woj podcast, which we can talk about in a second too, because he went on Woj's podcast at ESPN and he repeated that. So to me, he said it twice in like 2 days. So I don't really see how that would have been. I don't think it wasn't an offhand comment. It was obviously something that he had thought about and then thought about a second time when he said it. So there's got to be something to that. Now, the organization is the term I continue to use is they are cautiously optimistic. So I've been reporting for about 4 days, and I wrote it again today, that they're cautiously optimistic about Westbrook extending. But Royce reported today that they're optimistic about Westbrook extending. So we got some serious conflict between me and Royce on that one. Who knows if they're optimistic or cautiously optimistic. I said cautiously optimistic, and I was kind of like, what is cautiously optimistic?
Yeah.
Like, if you're cautiously optimistic, are you really – you're measured about being optimistic, but isn't that a form of cynicism within the optimism? So maybe I shouldn't keep saying cautiously optimistic, but people know what it means, so I keep saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would echo that, the indications that I get are that there's – the indications I get are there should not be cause for concern that there is no extension in place yet. So I guess that's how I will phrase it rather than go with cautiously optimistic, is that from everything I gather, there is no reason to be alarmed that there has not been pen to paper yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a reason to be alarmed right now. Now, to be honest, to give out all my notes as to why I don't know why it's taking this long. Because financially, I mean, Russ has no reason to wait. Financially, the best thing for him to do, and purely financially, and obviously this decision is not just financial, but if we're speaking purely financially, because we have 100% of the financial evidence, so we can talk about that completely in a completely educated manner. When the emotional stuff, we don't have 100% of the evidence, so we have to be a little more nuanced with that. But financially, signing today is the best thing for him without question, because he locks up the most amount of money he can possibly make starting next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what would be keeping it up. Everybody keeps telling me, like, you know, pretty feeling good about it. Thunder are feeling good. That's what I hear. And people around the league, like, it's not like the Thunder are cautiously. Like, people around the league think that he's going to re-up. And granted, the Thunder probably have a more educated opinion on this because it's their issue than other teams. But, like, it's not like the Thunder believe it and everyone around the league is like, what are they? It's not like it's an Indiana situation, you know, where Indiana held on and everyone was like, everyone knows Paul George is leaving. Random casual fans who live in Iowa know Paul George is leaving. Like, what's going on here? Like, it's not that situation. I'm sure there are some people who don't believe it, but just most of the people – vast majority of the people that I talked to are like, yeah, I think he'll sign that. So yeah. I agree. Not a reason to be alarmed, but it is a reason to be skeptical just because it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good time to ask questions. It's like, why? I don't know why. Right. I'm trying to find out why, but I don't know why.
I mean, I could think of a few reasons, and I've regurgitated this on other pods and probably on air, so forgive me if you've already heard me talk about this, but obviously there's been the work involved to get the George trade finalized, talk to Rudy Gay, talk to Patrick Patterson, get the Robertson deal redone, you know, all that stuff. And then also last year, Russ signed his extension on August 4th. That's when we had, you know, the giant celebration here in the city. But he had verbally agreed to that weeks beforehand. So that's where I'm sitting here. Like, we don't know. We'd like to know. We don't know everything going on behind the scenes. For all we know, Russ is already verbally committed. And, you know, there's party planning involved or something, you know, or maybe they just get this other stuff out of the way so then they can honor Russ. I could think of a few reasons, but again, this is speculation on my part.
Right. Yeah. That's what we can do right now. That's the thing about Russell Westbrook, which it's a respectable trait. He's an extremely private guy. He's an extremely famous person. He's now, my mother knows who Russell Westbrook is. He's extremely famous. He is an extremely famous person. And he somehow manages to live, and considering what he could be, he manages to live a pretty damn private life. And he's good at keeping that stuff quiet. And he has a lot of people who are close to him are really loyal to his beliefs and his preferences in keeping that stuff quiet too. Stuff doesn't leak from him. Stuff doesn't leak from the Thunder. And, it makes people like our jobs a little bit tougher sometimes. And sometimes, honestly, you find out information and whenever you find out information, the first thing I ask myself is this something the public needs to know? And if it's like Russell is signed, then obviously that's something that should be reported, obviously. But you find out some things and you're like, he's such a private guy. You just don't want to let it out. I'm not saying like anything damning or anything like that. It's just like you find out what his favorite ice cream is. And you're like, there's just no reason to include this and figure stuff out, you know? I think it's a respectable trait. And even though it runs perpendicular to what we're trying to do in a lot of fashions.
Sure. No, absolutely. I don't know if you ever, see an article with sources close to Westbrook say, whereas we had that with Durant. And that's just the difference.
Not just Durant, like everybody.
Like almost everybody. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
if I were a major NBA player and again, I wouldn't be having the late night dominoes in this scenario either. But if I were a major NBA player, like there would definitely be sources close to me say.
Right.
Like 100%. I would tell people stuff and people around me would end up leaking for sure. I would not be able to do what Russ does.
Right. Exactly. I could not keep my mouth shut nor keep theirs shut. So I completely agree. So the fact that you don't hear a lot out of it, I mean, that's how he likes it. And, that's fine. It's totally fine.
My friend Wade would tell every reporter everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wade would leak everything. Now I'm kind of pissed at Wade for hypothetically leaking all of this fake stuff.
Wade just went to Howard Beck.
Yeah.
And just told him everything.
What do you got? Anything else or shall we depart?
Yeah, nothing really else at the moment. We're taking a hiatus on our Saturday basketball show, which is much needed. I'll have some things coming up on Daily Thunder, some more informational tidbits along the way, just, to kind of inform fans on, maybe why the Thunder did this and not that, and why they're doing what they're doing. So, I will be running some of that stuff.
All right. Well, and you're John M. Ham with two M's on Twitter. And you can remember I'm on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there, leave 5 stars, leave a little review just saying how much you love Locked On Thunder because you made it this far. So, well, you probably just love John Hamm like we all do. But if you made it
That's entirely possible.
John Hamm is a large part of Locked On Thunder. He's a many, many times guest. So you can even just leave a review saying how much you love John Hamm. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. And if you really have stuff that you hate, you can send that there. Or you can send it to @FredKatz, which is what I am on Twitter, KATZ. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. And you can see all the free agency coverage and everything along those lines. That's going to do it for today. I'm off for the weekend. Going to be back Monday. Thanks to John for coming on. Until Monday, Locked On Thunder is locking up.